Of all of the podcasting episodes that I've made thus far, this one has haunted me the most. Hello and welcome back to Diddy and Hawthorne in the In-Between. I'm your host, Mackenzie Gentz, and you're listening to my podcast about the relevancy of literature in the 21st century. Now bookmark that book and let's begin. The podcast is named after Joan Didion, and I've managed to go almost 6 months without too much mention of her work. There's been plenty of speculation about why this is, and thank you, comment section, for pointing it out, but the truth is that I've just not had the proper gusto until now to do an episode on Didion. That being said, 2019 is the year of Didion. We'll be taking a deep dive into her collective works, and I'm announcing December Didion now so that y'all don't have to turn blue whilst holding your collective breath and waiting for it to happen. And something special about this particular episode is that I'm starting and ending the year on The White Album, because I'm honestly interested in how my perspective on it will change after I've read her collective works. Joan Didion's The White Album was published in 1979 by Simon & Schuster as a short story collection comprised of select works of hers published in the previous two decades, but focusing on the 1960s. Didion started writing after she won a competition that got her a job at Vogue, but later started writing periodically for Life, Esquire, the Saturday Evening Post, the New York Times, and the New York Review of Books. And the short stories in this collection are primarily from those sources. I know that I haven't yet published the episode on how short story collections are made, but that is to come, so I will try to be as concise as possible without belaboring the same points that I make in that episode. Typically, and as always, the best examples lie with Kurt Vonnegut. Short story collections are made by compiling source material from already published works together and then publishing it under one book, as with, of course, The White Album and novels like Welcome to the Monkey House. Other short story collections of the same camp are sometimes published posthumously, as with Look at the Birdie by Kurt Vonnegut, and many, many Hemingway short story anthologies. This is obviously not yet the case for Joan Didion, as she is still alive and writing. On another side of the page, though, just to mention it briefly, are of course short story or essay collections like the works of memoir writers like Sidaris and O'Farrell, which are typically written all at once and published for the first time together in a novel format. Short stories, as we will also get into later, developed at least in America with the guise of quickly legitimizing writers and also getting them a quick buck. There are so many examples of this phenomena, but the most famous is probably with F. Scott Fitzgerald, where he published gobs and gobs of short stories before, during, and in between book sales to bolster his income and add to his volume of works, or in other words, for credibility's sake. What I found with Joan Didion, however, is that she runs contrary to the trend, and that early Didion is a master of the literary short story, and later Didion, excluding the newest book of republished essays, South and West, which I have not read yet, is a master of the novel. Interestingly enough, it seems that her preferred form, that is, the kinds of pieces she was writing as determined by their length, adapted based on what she needed to communicate. I couldn't imagine the Year of Magical Thinking as any shorter than it is now, because the length in part communicates the cyclic and prolonged nature of grief. Likewise, I can't fathom any of Didion's notable shorts being any longer than they are because of the concise way in which they are written. The White Album is specially remembered for a number of reasons, the first being the namesake essay, The White Album. I've read its opening paragraph on the show a number of times already, but I'm going to read it again. Here we are. We tell ourselves stories in order to live. The princess is caged in the consulate. The man with the candy will lead the children into the sea. The naked woman on the ledge outside the window on the 16th floor is a victim of acidity, or the naked woman is an exhibitionist, and it would be interesting to know which. We tell ourselves that it makes some difference whether the naked woman is about to commit a mortal sin, or is about to register a political protest, or is about to be, the Aristophanic view, snatched back to the human condition by the fireman in priest clothing just visible in the window behind her, the one smiling at the telephoto lens. We look for the sermon in the suicide, for the social or moral lesson in the murder of five. We interpret what we see, select the most workable of the multiple choices. We live entirely, especially if we are writers, by the imposition of a narrative line upon disparate images, by the ideas with which we have learned to freeze, the shifting phantasmagoria which is our actual experience. As you can tell, it's the kind of rhetoric that is filled with timely contradictions, humor, intellectual tidbits, stuff that you can think about for a decade and never fully understand, even though you have the illusion of understanding it just fine. Another reason why The White Album is so notable is because of how well it encapsulates the 60s. Didion, as you are fully aware by the end of the book, was right in the middle of the 60s culture. She knew almost everything about music, movies, artwork, and the literature of the time. There are essays about Georgia O'Keeffe, the women's movement, and my favorite biker movies. Here's a quote about those films that I like to tease my former English teacher with, and hi if you're listening. I saw 9 of them recently, saw the first one by accident and the rest of them with a notebook. I was not even sure why I kept going. To have seen one bike movie is to have seen them all. In terms of other content, Didion was obsessed with documenting the undocumented. She pines over industries, systems, and enterprise like Degas pined over dancers, that is, with a delicacy and thoroughness that is still unmatched today. I walked away from the White Album knowing more and being more curious about things like the highway, water, and dam systems than I could have ever envisioned. She is deliberate and unapologetic, making points that are, at points, fascinating and surprising to even longtime fans. In a word, her writing is masterful. Looking back on the White Album, I remember why it's my favorite novel by Joan Didion. There are so many gems. I've dog-eared probably a third of the novel, and it's a book that you can come back to time and time again and never get tired of it. If you enjoyed the discussion and would like to hear more from me, there's an episode of DHNI for everyone, so I'd recommend checking out our back catalog of episodes, which should be available on whatever podcasting app you're on. If you need some guidance, try episode number 1 about white noise. I haven't mentioned that in a while. 2019 is the year of Didion, so if you'd like to follow along in my quest to read Joan Didion's collective works or learn more about the movement to bring lit back to people, everything can be found at didionandhawthorne.blueberry.net. And remember that blueberry is spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Now you can also follow the show on Twitter with @DidionIn, 2 N's total. I'll be posting about new lit releases, reading lists, and of course new projects and episodes relating to DHNI, including the Love of February series next month. Also, stay tuned for the next episode in 2 weeks' time. We'll be analyzing dystopian fiction with Adam Wurst. Still there? One more thing then. Remember that leaving a comment or review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or any other Guilty Pleasure podcast platform helps leverage the show so that other literature enthusiasts can find the community. In other words, it helps a ton. Auf Wiederhören!